Today is World Diabetes Day, a global effort to raise awareness about the disease and to continue to push for a cure. The day marks the birth of Frederick Banting, who, along with Charles Best, first conceived the idea which led to the discovery of insulin in 1922. An estimated 371 million people worldwide have diabetes. In the U.S., nearly 26 million children and adults in the U.S. have diabetes. Larissa Luther serves as a board member of the South Dakota chapter of JDRF, an organization funding type 1 diabetes research. She also has type 1 diabetes. She joins us on the line from Sioux Falls. And Larissa, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, we should start with that basic question. What is diabetes?
Diabetes is a very complicated disease, but essentially what happens when you have type 1 diabetes, like myself, it's an autoimmune disease, and it basically makes it so your pancreas cannot produce the insulin you need to get the glucose out of your bloodstream and into the cells so that it can be used for energy.
And the difference between type 1 and type 2?
Type 2 typically is more hereditary than type 1. In addition to that, people with type 2 typically will still produce insulin. Their body just does not use it as well. And a lot of times type 2 can either be prevented or at least slowed down by having a good diet and exercise, whereas with type 1, those things are both still very important. But it wouldn't matter how well I ate or how much I exercised, my body just won't produce the insulin that it needs
now
to survive.
Yeah, now for, what is it, about 10 or 5% of the people with diabetes, it's type 1?
Right. It's a smaller number that have type 1 than have type 2.
Now for you, as you mentioned, you have type 1 diabetes. When were you diagnosed?
I was actually diagnosed when I was 29 years old, which is not as common. Typically, people are more likely to be diagnosed as a child. Although it's more common than people realize, I think, to be diagnosed as an adult as well. So I got diagnosed at 29.
Were there certain symptoms that you had that made you think that maybe you had diabetes?
When I was pregnant with our first child, I had had what they thought was gestational diabetes. It did go away after the pregnancy ended. And after I had my baby, went back, everything was fine. And then when I was pregnant for the second time, it showed up much earlier. And so they just thought, well, maybe there's something else going on. But because I was pregnant, they couldn't diagnose it with anything other than gestational. So my case is much different than most people. I just was, because I was pregnant and they tested me because of my previous experience, after the pregnancy, they tested again and said, yeah, this is not gestational. You actually have type 1 diabetes. But symptoms that people would normally have are things like extreme thirst, having to go to the bathroom a lot, being extremely tired. A lot of people suffer from like nausea. They almost feel like they've got the flu or some type of illness. They just can't seem to shake. So those are some of the things that typically you would notice before you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
So how does having type 1 diabetes affect your daily life?
It affects every part of my daily life. First of all, just the idea that there's not a thing I can do throughout the day that doesn't somehow have to be impacted by my knowing what my blood sugar levels are. From the minute I get up in the morning, I test my blood because I need to see where I'm at so that I can eat my breakfast. When I go to work out, I need to make sure that my blood sugar is not too low, because if it is, exercise is only going to make it drop lower, and that's just as scary as having high blood sugar. It affects everything from if I'm going to be doing a lot of activity in the day with my job. I sell real estate, and so if I'm going to be out and about and walking a lot, I need to make sure that I've got supplies on hand in case those blood sugars do drop low. It affects what I'm going to do in terms of meal planning. It just affects every aspect of your life. And then clear up until the time I go to bed, I check it one more time because I want to make sure it's at a good place so that when I go to sleep, I'm not putting myself in jeopardy of having too high or too low of a blood sugar.
This sounds like having type 1 diabetes is something that is always there in the forefront of your mind.
Always. It's like one of the first things and last things you think about throughout the day, and it's just constantly in the back of your mind. There's never a time that you're not thinking about it. And in fact, it becomes such a part of your life that anyone you live with, it also becomes a huge part of their life. My kids will ask me, Mom, you're a little bit crabby. Is your blood sugar low? You know, or my husband will sometimes notice it. on the other hand, it's just things like, well, Mom, can you eat that? Should you have that? Those kinds of things. But it affects every aspect of your life all the time, 24/7.
But it sounds like at the same time, people like yourself who have type 1 diabetes, that having that family, having that support is important.
Support is huge. Not just support from your family, but support from the community. So certainly the opportunity to talk about it like this is fantastic. And people like myself who deal with this disease day in and day out certainly appreciate that, because there are a lot of misconceptions about diabetes. And so just having the opportunity to talk a little bit about it. A lot of people think, oh, well, you have diabetes. That's not such a big deal. They can handle that. They can manage that now. And yes, they can manage that. But it's still something that impacts every area of your life all the time. So support is a huge, huge part of getting through that daily struggle.
Do you ever look at your life as, you know, when you're 29, pre-type 1 diabetes and post-type 1 diabetes? You know, it sounds like you have to keep track of everything, and that's in the forefront of your mind, but are you still able to live an active life?
I am, and I am so grateful to the scientists and the researchers and the companies like JDRF that are working towards a cure, because in doing that, they've also come along with some fantastic advancements that do make managing this disease much more easy, and it makes it so that you can live a pretty normal, active life there. I do all the things I did before. I just have to think a little bit more about them than I maybe did prior to being diagnosed. You know, prior to being diagnosed, I'd go work out. I didn't think about if I was low or high or where my blood sugar was. I can still go work out. I just have that extra component of it now that I didn't have before.
Now, both type 1 and type 2 diabetes have been on the increase, not only in the U.S., but worldwide, and it's expected to go up. Do researchers know why that is?
You know, I'm sure researchers have their theories. I personally don't know what their thoughts are on that. You know, I do think part of it could have, this is just my own speculation and theory, is that we do tend to live a more sedentary lifestyle, and I think that certainly can add to it. Exercise, any doctor will tell you that exercise is good for everybody, but it's particularly good for a diabetic because that really helps to regulate your blood sugar. So I do think the sedentariness of our lifestyle is probably one of the things that leads to it, and I'm sure there are many other theories that they have as well, but I don't know exactly what all of those are.
Now, you're on the board of the South Dakota chapter of JDRF, which raises funds to find a cure for a type 1 diabetes, which is what we've been talking about. The organization was known until a couple of years ago as the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. What's the reason for the change in the name of the organization?
Well, I think the biggest reason for the change is that although for a lot of people they are diagnosed as young children, unfortunately the disease does not go away just because childhood goes away. The disease stays with you for your lifetime, or at least until they find us a cure. And not only that, but there are plenty of adults that are diagnosed with it as well, just like I was. So I think JDRF just felt it was very important to not eliminate that whole group of people that were struggling with it by just calling it a juvenile disease. For many people, yes, it does start when they are young, but it's, like I said, it continues to stick with you throughout your life. And so I think they just thought it was really important to kind of take that stigma away from it that, oh, you only suffer from it if you're a juvenile, when in fact you suffer with it your entire life.
And the life expectancy of people with type 1 diabetes when they continue with their treatments and keep a watch on their blood sugar levels?
Well, from what I have, you know, researched myself and been told, when you do a really good job of maintaining your blood sugars and keeping it in control, your life expectancy should not be a whole lot different than the average person. It's when you start to not pay attention to it, and when you don't take care of it the way you should, that you will start to have other complications from the disease. You'll have heart issues and kidney problems and nerve damage, and there's just so much that can come from not taking care of it. Those are the things that would tend to shorten your lifespan. And so, you know, with good care and taking the time and energy to invest in yourself and in your body and taking good care of it, your life expectancy life expectancy, excuse me, should stay like any other person.
Going back to when you were 29 and the diagnosis that you had type 1 diabetes, was that must have been quite a shock.
You know, it was, and for most people I would say it's a huge shock. But unfortunately, the pregnancy that I found out that it showed up a little bit earlier, and we ended up losing that child when I was 8 months pregnant. And I found out about 7 weeks after that that I, in fact, had type 1 diabetes. So in my personal situation, diabetes was really nothing compared to having lost a child. And so for me, it was just, well, okay, now I have this. How do I deal with it? What do I do? I'm not going to stop living. I'm going to keep going. And what do I need to do in order to make that happen? And so, yes, it is a shock. And it's something that you realize that, wow, this is going to change what I do day in and day out every day of my life. The one upside I had is I'd had it when I was pregnant, so it wasn't the first time I personally had dealt with it. But for people who are initially diagnosed in a more traditional sense where they've never dealt with it prior to, it is. It's a huge shock because there's questions of, well, am I going to die? Am I going to never be able to eat birthday cake on my birthday again? Am I going to be able to exercise normally? I mean, all those questions do certainly come about, and especially if you're a young child and you're diagnosed with it, those fears are, of course, huge in the minds and hearts of parents. It's a difficult thing to know, how do I take care of this child and make sure that I keep them healthy? So, yes, it can be a very shocking, you go through a lot of steps, the anger, the denial, the I don't want to deal with this. You go through many emotions when you're first diagnosed with a disease like this.
Do you talk with the parents of kids who have been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, or talk to the kids themselves and kind of let them know that you can live a full and active life even with this disease?
Oh, absolutely. I love to talk to anybody that will listen. So I have no problem with that. And I feel like I've been so blessed to have such a great support system that has helped me, has answered my questions. I've talked to great friends that also have this disease, and their thoughts and ideas and tips are all things that have helped me to deal with this. And so anytime I have the opportunity to visit with a child, another adult, parents of a child, anyone that might have questions or just wants to bounce some ideas off, that's one of my favorite things to do. That's one of the main reasons I got involved with JDRF, was so that I would have the opportunity to be involved in this community of people that had this as part of their lives, so that we could all communicate together and kind of be a community of support and ideas. And so, yes, that's one of my favorite things about being part of this organization, is the ability to meet with people and help them in any way that I can with how to live this, how to live life with this disease.
Well, Larissa Luther, I want to thank you so much for taking the time and talking with us here on Dakota Midday.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Larissa Luther. She serves as a board member of the South Dakota chapter of JDRF, an organization funding type 1 diabetes research.